This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. It all started as an idea, but it has now become a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't certainly do it myself, and because of that, I am so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. Before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Island. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Today's guest is a modern-day hunter-gatherer. She's addicted to new experiences and learning new things. A true adventurer that has experienced the world truly and literally naked. She has been challenging herself as a cast member for Discovery's Naked and Afraid 3 times. Once in Bocas del Toro, Panama, once in the Peruvian Amazon, and once in the Colombian savannah. Even though she has been naked and afraid, today she is fully dressed and as confident as a lioness stalking her prey. Her name is Laura Serra. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, that was just a little bit of an introduction. When I did some research about you, I'm like, wow, this girl has done a lot.
Yeah, people ask me like, oh, what do you do? And I never really know how to answer that question.
Yeah, I live, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So who is Laura really as a person?
That's a really great question. I mean, I think we all have the image that we kind of try to bottle and present ourselves as, but there's always so much more, right?
Yeah.
I think when I try to think about who I am, I think about those parts of myself that haven't changed. Because I think we're all in this constant evolution of changing and, becoming whatever that best version of who we are is. But I mean, I think back to when I was a kid and you would not recognize me. I was the most painfully shy, awkward, sad kid. And that is in such stark contrast to who I am as an adult. And I guess I always was just a weird kid that never fit in. And I knew that the things I liked to do were a little different than the norm. And all I wanted to do was fit in and be like everyone else. I think like most kids, right? But I think a big part of my journey was realizing that when I was doing those things that I loved, like the parts of myself that I tried to keep hidden from everyone, like when I was pursuing what I loved, I was the most happy. But it wasn't until I was an adult that I could really fully embrace that and own that. So I think like a huge part of my journey has been embracing the parts of myself that are weird and are different. You know, I think we all want to be the same when we're growing up, but if you're like everyone else, then you're replaceable. So for me, it's been just really embracing those weird, crazy parts of myself and knowing that if I follow what it is that makes me happy, that's ultimately going to lead to my own happiness. So it's been kind of crazy getting there. You'd think it'd be easy, right?
Yeah, it's a long journey. And I'm glad that you're sharing this. So can you just talk about why were you sad when you were a kid?
It's so funny. I actually cried every single day from preschool up until like the fifth grade. And it was really embarrassing. Like I would go to school and I remember walking down the hall to my class and I just remember fighting tears and crying every day and telling all the other kids it was allergies because they're like, what is wrong with this girl? Like she's bawling her eyes out, you know? And I just remember this deep sadness of feeling like nobody understood me and I just didn't have many friends and I just felt really alone. And so that's really hard when you're a kid. School was like the worst thing ever.
So how did you start hunting?
So in college, my professor, Manuel Lizarralde, he actually grew up, his dad was an anthropologist, and so he grew up with the Bari people down in Venezuela. And he pretty much grew up as a kid in the tribe. So he learned how to make bows out of, you know, chunks of a tree and make his own arrows and go hunting in a very primitive way. And when I met him in college, I was like, oh, like I need to learn this stuff. You know, this is like, I'd never met anyone who knew that kind of thing. The internet wasn't what it was. It was, you know, impossible to just go and look this stuff up. So I asked him for help, and he was my mentor in the early years, teaching me how to build my own bows. And when I first got into tracking, it was with him. And my first time going out hunting was with him. So it was all like this very, very experiential learning process.
Can you just talk us through what is a hunter-gatherer, and like for people that don't know, and how does this start, and just walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, I think no matter where you came from, all of our ancestors lived and died with the land. They figured out how to be kind of a human animal and work with the land and gather everything they needed from it, from shelter to water to food, both plant and animal-based. So for me, a lot of what I have been trying to do in my life is fill that role of a human animal. And, you know, I'm not running out and, you know, I still have a car. I'm not completely ignoring the fact that I do live in 2018. But
yeah. It's so funny. I just want to tell everybody, when I met you downstairs here, you were with this big bike, and you were like, when we scheduled this, like, I'm coming from San Diego. So when I saw this bike, did you bike here? Because you texted me, I'm going to be a little bit late. I'm stuck in traffic. It's like, did you really bike here?
Yeah, you know, bike traffic was really rough today. A lot of people out there pedaling.
So funny. Yeah, sorry.
But, yeah, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing I ever did. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, I mean, it's just been about really connecting with that more primal side of myself and being connected to everything. But I think being connected to the food I eat has been really important for me, and understanding where it comes from and taking part in it. And I think it's something that a lot of people would be interested in doing, but it's really hard with the way our world is set up.
Yeah. And how does it feel to hunt something down and to kill it?
I think it is, I don't like killing things. I think people get this idea that, oh, you're a hunter, you must love death, you know? And it's not that. For me, it's not about killing. It's about that, getting in touch with that, that part of yourself that is still in all of us that is so primal. And I think people would be surprised at the level of reverence and humility that you get as a hunter. You know, when you see something die, when you've killed something, you look it in the eyes as it's dying, and you know, go through that experience and know that you caused that. It's not, wow, I'm such an awesome person. It's, oh my God, you know, this is what it takes to keep me alive. This sacrifice is what it takes to keep me alive, and it inspires me to live my life in a better way, because I know that's, you know, that animal gave its life so that I could keep mine going. Like, I better make it fucking worth it, because it's really, I mean, it's humbling, and it's just not something that's easy. You know, it's this huge respect, and it's, I think I bring that into the rest of my life, and as crazy as it sounds, I think it's made me a better person.
And you only kill with bow and knife?
No, like I started out doing, archery and then bow hunting, and I've used rifles as well, and then also this thing called persistence hunting, which is in my eyes the ultimate fair chase hunt. When you actually run the animal down, you pit yourself against them. It's how humans first started hunting, before we had bows and arrows, before we had atlatls or more sophisticated tools for hunting. People would literally run animals to the point of exhaustion. It's why we're built the way we're built, so that we can have this endurance to chase animals down in the long haul. So I learned that when I was in Australia, and it was something that, you know, totally fit with the way I feel about trying to figure out what it really means to be a person.
Are you afraid when you do this?
Never.
Never?
Fear doesn't come into the equation. I think fear is something that is more when you're thinking too much about things, when you're overanalyzing something and you're thinking about the future, you're thinking what could happen, what could go wrong, what problems could come up. But when I'm in that moment fully, I don't think about the what ifs. You know, I think if you're in the future in a hunt, you're not in the right place. So being in that moment, and whenever I can stay in the present moment, I don't experience that fear.
I think that's what it is with a lot of people today. They have problems being in the present moment. Mm-hmm. I know as a fighter, when I competed, that's, you feel so alive. It's mm-hmm. it's something primal, mm-hmm. but you feel more alive than you ever done because you have to be in the moment. If you're not, it's gonna hurt. And like in your scenario, it's even more primal because if you're not doing it right, you're gonna get killed, right?
Right.
Do you think that's why we have a lot of misery in the world, because people are never in the actual moment?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think, you know, our world is really designed right now for us to be super focused on one thing at a time, but to be doing it in like a really cerebral way. And I don't think there's, you know, we've gotten to where we are because of our brains, but I think people really overthink everything. I mean, there's an exercise someone had me do once where you sit with a piece of paper and you write for 5 minutes, you set a timer for 5 minutes, and every single thought that comes into your head, you write that thought down, and you can't write fast enough. You know, all the stupid stuff. And then when you're done, you have five pages, and you start reading it over, and you're like, man, this internal chatter goes on all the time, and I'm not even aware of it. And none of it's important, you know? It's all just the dumbest stuff. But we're always doing that, and we never have a chance to just breathe and sit and be in the moment. We're always thinking, oh, what did I do yesterday? Oh, what am I doing tomorrow? You know, it's never this, we never live because we're never in that moment, and that's all that's real, right? So I definitely think it's the cause of a lot of misery for people.
Yeah. One thing that I loved when I called you the first time is you said, I love life and I just want to share. And when a person says that without getting that question, something happens in my body. It's like, holy shit, this person is alive. Can you just walk us through how can you be so alive, and how can other people also be alive?
Yeah, I mean, and it took me a while to get here, and I think it's funny. Like, this is kind of embarrassing, but the other day I was actually driving. I was going up to spent some time in Vegas working at a forge. I spent some time in up there, and I actually just started thinking about how much I love my life. I actually started crying. I was like, it wasn't because I was upset. I was like tears of joy because I was so happy that I just love my life so much, you know? And I just, all the little problems we have, all the little things that come in, when you really look at it, is it really a big deal? You know what I mean? I think for me, reaching that point has been about embracing the contrast that we have in our lives where, yeah, I have bad days, sure. But I know when that bad day is happening that it's going to make the good days all that much better. And when you really look and feel that gratitude for the things you do have in your life, and we get to choose what we focus on. You know, if you focus on, oh, this happened and this is terrible and that's where you live, you're going to be miserable. You know, but if you can focus on the smallest positive thing, I mean, going out and having the experiences I've had where you go out and you starve, I get joy out of walking into a grocery store because I look around and I'm like, this is amazing. I can have any food I want right now and it's all just here and I can eat it. And I wouldn't have that appreciation, I think, if I didn't go through the bad times, right? So like the contrast of the really hard times makes the good times all that much more amazing. And I think a lot of people live in this very comfortable state of, you know, everything's kind of the same. Nothing's ever really that bad, but nothing's ever really great because of that. It's like when you don't push your edges, when you don't push outside your comfort zone, when you get in these patterns, everything just kind of stays on one level. And I don't think as humans we were designed to be on that flat, even level. Life was highs and lows. You know, you might not eat for a week and then there's a huge hunt and you gorge and feast on this massive meal and like celebrate until you pass out because you're so full, you know? And I think we're missing that today. And I think most people are. And I think it's something that people really have to seek out. I don't think it just comes to you.
Yeah. But it is a little bit tricky sometimes to take that step, right?
Because absolutely.
You are afraid what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. How do you take that leap of faith to get started?
Right. I think realizing that the reason that you're having that resistance is because evolutionarily, when you would take a risk, you know, if you broke a leg as a primitive hunter-gatherer and you were out somewhere in the middle of nowhere, that could mean death. So we're hardwired to be scared of change and taking these little risks. But I think looking at it with a really rational mind and saying, okay, what what really is the big deal? You know, even I love writing things down, making lists, being like, what is really going through my head? What's really stopping me from doing this? And writing that down and looking at it and being like, all right, is this real? Or is this just something I'm creating in my mind that is just stopping me because, you know, I'm resistant to pushing myself. And I think most people realize that the excuses they have for not doing things or the reason that they're not doing things or they're uncomfortable, they're just excuses and they're not real. And, you know, it's still hard. You still have to push yourself through it, but I don't think there's anything worse than mediocrity. I don't think there's anything worse than being in that state of, well, I'm not dying, but I'm not happy either. You know, so what do you have to lose?
One thing that I thought about is being comfortable in your own skin, because you were naked and there's cameras and everything. What would you say to people that, like, most of us, we don't want to go around naked because we're not comfortable in that? Was that something that you had to work with, or did it come naturally for you? How can other people work with themselves to be more comfortable in their own skin, so to speak?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's looking at where that's coming from and looking at what actually that fear is. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people are scared of judgment. They're scared of, you know, being judged based on imperfections. And I think confidence comes from, you know, again, realizing what you're made of and also just realizing that, you know, we're capable of so much more than we think. And the exterior stuff, like the aesthetic stuff, like it's not real. Like it's, you know, it's something, it's really funny. So I'm going out on this 3-week adventure and I actually, whenever I go out, I end up losing a bunch of weight. So right now I've been eating like slices of butter that are like cheese, you know, like putting them on things. And everyone's like, what are you doing? Like you have the craziest diet right now. Like you've put on 10 pounds in 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, like, because my body is here to serve me. My body's not here to look pretty for everyone else. I really worried about what people thought of me when I was a kid. And I realized that that is the biggest trap that we can get into, is living life for everyone else and thinking, you know, what is everyone else thinking about me? And then you're miserable. And at the end of the day, no one else really even cares. You know, it's like, it's just not even that big of a deal, but it's just like this trap that we put ourselves in that, you know, it's not important. And all that stuff is just, you know, it's just doing it and getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, I think.
We're all about sharing stories, but we want to share tools. Mm-hmm. And we want people, when they've listened to this and watched this, to really get off their couch and do something with their life.
Yeah.
So if you have one tip or tool, what they can do right now to get started working on their goals, their dreams, mm-hmm. their passions, what would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would recommend what's worked for me, which is sitting down and I'm a really big fan of journaling and writing. It just helps me get whatever's in my head out on paper, and then you have that accountability to it. So sitting down and just mentally vomiting onto paper what you're passionate about, what if there were no limitations, if you had $1 million, whatever in your mind is limiting you, if those didn't exist, what would your life look like? You know, what would you be doing physically? Where would you be at mentally? Just the craziest goals. If a genie came down and said, I'll grant you 10 wishes, you know, write those down. And then coming up with little things you can do every day to get there. You know, just again, the fact that we only have so much time can be a limiting factor, but it can also be empowering because you do have that time. And so finding those concrete things, starting now, you know, don't say, okay, I'll try that next week. Like sitting down right now, as soon as the podcast's over, like getting out your pen and your paper and writing that down and writing down just 10 things you can do, to little steps, things that you can accomplish this week that'll help get you just that much closer. And I think if you get in this habit of focusing on where you're going, you know, there's a quote, it's like, you know, if you don't know what port to which you're headed, no wind is favorable, right? So like if you don't know what your goal is, you're not going to be able to ever get there. So really figuring out what it is you want, and the rest comes.
That's great. I think you almost read my book, The Goal Book.
That's awesome.
But you have the great tools, and I'll actually give you one. Laura, Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. This was incredible. I had a great time. I wish we could talk more, but let's have you back after you had some crazy adventures. I'd like to have a conversation with you and our friend Pat in the same room. I think that could be pretty cool sometime in the future. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you everybody for watching this and listening to this. This is what we do. We want to share stories. We want to help people. We want to help you to go after what you want. If you like what we do, share this, because that's how we grow. That's how we can help other people. Don't forget to give us 5 stars on iTunes and just be part of this community and this movement that we are doing together. And thank you, Panos, for being a part of this community and sponsoring us. Check them out at panos.com. That was it for today. Catch you next week.